today on Family Talk.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director of the James Dobson Family Institute, taking the reins for Dr. Dobson this week. He'll be in Washington, D.C. this week with his wife, Shirley. A lot of activities going on. We'll be sharing a lot more about that in the upcoming broadcasts. But this week, all week, we're going to be focusing on awakening men to be better fathers, husbands, and Christ followers. Yesterday, Dr. Dobson and I discussed the rampant and unrelenting attacks on masculinity. Over the next few days, you're going to hear broadcasts that will encourage and, by the way, support godly manhood. These messages are from an event called the Ignite Men's Impact Weekend that happened just a few weeks ago. Our very first presentation that we have lined up for you is a powerful word of encouragement from Dr. Jack Graham. Here's a short clip of what you're going to hear.
Don't you dare allow the devil to take you out of the race by telling you you can't get up again. If you are in Christ by God's grace, you can get up and go again. That's why some of you are here. Because some of you have been held back by just some of the things that are slowing you and keeping you from being the man of God you're called to be. Others, you're down. But we all love a comeback story. And you can get up and you can go again. How? Looking unto Jesus. He said, what I start, I will finish. He who began the good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You focus on him. You see him by faith, because I guarantee you, Jesus never quit on you.
Dr. Jack Graham is the lead pastor of the 40,000-member Preston Wood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. He's written numerous books, including his newly released work entitled Angels. His many sermons, by the way, and messages can be heard as a part of PowerPoint Ministries. Dr. Graham also served as honorary chairman for the National Day of Prayer, and he served as president of the Southern Baptist Convention. You're going to love this message because it's a word of hope, and it's a challenge to men that no matter where they're at, if they're down and out or if they're discouraged or, by the way, they've kind of lost their way, it's a challenge to get back into the ring, back into the fight. Let's listen now to Dr. Jack Graham on this edition of Family Talk, a production of the James Dobson Family Institute.
I want to talk to you about going the distance and running the race that God has set before us. Now, how many of you are saved? I mean, you know you are saved. Come on. All right, you're saved. And because you are saved, you're running hard after Jesus. You're running in the race of life. And we are called to be champions for Christ. And I believe it. Now, when you read your Bible, you got to know that the Apostle Paul, one of my heroes, was a sports fan. Because he talked about athletic events constantly, whether it was boxing, fighting, training, running. He often spoke of running. Of course, running was a very popular sport, racing of all kinds. Now, they had great Olympian games in the ancient world, Isthmian games, Pythian games. You can go to Corinth today. I've been several times. You can still see the track where they had the chariot races. But they had those big chariot races, huge stadiums. Most of the major cities like Athens and Corinth, Ephesus, they had these massive stadiums where thousands and thousands would come and cheer. And it was said that the champions, those who actually won the race, were celebrated more than the generals. Sounds like our own time when athletes are celebrated more than our soldiers. And I don't think that's the right way to do it. But nevertheless, the champions of every generation are often celebrated and applauded. And the Apostle Paul, I mean, he must have loved sports. Now, we don't know for sure that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I actually think that he did. But in the book of Hebrews, he talks about this race. And he mentions it several times in other scriptures of running the race and finishing the race. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, he says, since we are encompassed about, circled about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. How many know this verse? looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. That's the race I want to talk to you about today. And how not just to enter the race, because if you're saved, you're in the race. We're not talking about running for salvation. You can't earn or deserve your salvation at all. But if you are saved, you are in the race. And you are called to run well, to finish well, and that you might be crowned. You say, well, I'm not interested in a crown. Just give me a little hut on the backside of heaven and I'll be happy. Well, the Bible tells us we're going to take our crowns and lay them at Jesus' feet. I want one, don't you? To lay at the feet of Jesus. So we need to run, and we need to run hard and run well. So how are we going to do that? I'm going to mention several ways that we run this race. And the first way, right out of this scripture, is know you are not alone. Now, running basically is a lonely sport when you think about it, especially the long distance runners. But when you run the Christian race, the race of life, you need to know that you are not doing this alone. One of the problems with men today is we get isolated if we're not careful. And when we get isolated, we're prey for the enemy. So realize and recognize that all around us are saints and angels who are calling us forward, cheering us on. That's why that verse begins, since we are circled about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, if you just back up from Hebrews 12, Hebrews 11 is the Hall of Faith chapter in the Bible. One of the most famous chapters in the Bible is Hebrews chapter 11. Because it describes faith, and then it shows us faith, all the different men and women who by faith did great things for God. Not because they had a great faith, but because they had a great God. You know, it doesn't take much of a man, much faith in a man to be a Christian, but it takes all the man there is and all the faith that you have. So even if it's small, God can take your small faith and use you for his glory. And so there in Hebrews 11, I've been to the Baseball Hall of Fame. I love baseball, and I can spend hours there. You see the greats of the American pastime of baseball, football Hall of Fame, basketball, all these Hall of Fames. Well, Hebrews 11 describes these men and women who lived by faith. And the scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When I read my Bible, how do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Faith comes by the power of God's word. Faith, here's what faith is. Faith is trusting God regardless of the consequences, regardless of the circumstances in your life. Now, I had a wonderful dad. His name was Tom. He was a really good dad. He wasn't a preacher. He was a blue-collar guy. In fact, we owned a little corn dog stand called the Dandy Dog. I grew up eating those corn dogs, dipping them, and they were delicious too. I think my cholesterol was up over 300 by age 10, dipping those corn dogs and eating them. But I had a great dad, and he was my first baseball coach and sponsored our team. We were the Dandy Dog Cardinals, and then I went on to play high school baseball and went on to get a college. Scott, I could have not gone to college, or at least where I wanted to go to college, without the opportunity I had to play baseball. So I'm playing baseball in university. I'm called to preach. I'm preaching already as a young college athlete, and my dad was my greatest cheerleader in life. And to shorten this story, because I only have so much time, at the end of my sophomore year in college, I was about to get married. I was a little frustrated with our coach, and before the season ended, I walked off the field, got angry, walked to the dugout, and said, I'm done with baseball. I thought I was finished. That summer, got married. We moved into student housing, Hardin-Simmons University. We were living there. That summer, my father was brutally murdered at his place of business. And my father was my hero. It broke my heart. And to this day, it chokes me up to talk about it and to think about it. That's how close I am to my dad. Well, I got to thinking later, we buried my dad, and I got to thinking about my dad, who one rule we had in our family was don't ever quit anything. Once you start something, don't quit it. I got to thinking about my dad and all the times he was out there to play catch and coach me, and I got to think, you know, I was wrong to walk off that field. And especially I said, you know, Dad invested so much into me. I got to thinking, I owe it to my dad to try to get back on that field. I owe it to my dad to go back and apologize to my baseball coach at the university and see if they'd let me back on the team. And I did that. Told the coach my story, and I said, in my heart, I just believe my dad wants me to do this. And the coach was kind enough to accept my apology, put me back on the team. It helped that I was still the best hitter on the team. But anyway, no. He put me back on the team, and from that day forward, I had a different motivation to play ball. I'd kind of lost my motivation. I knew I wasn't going to be a big leaguer. I always thought I wanted to be that. But now I had another motivation, and that was to play for my Father in heaven. Yes, the Heavenly Father, for sure. But I have a daddy that encourages me to this day. And if you're that kind of dad, because remember, your kids are looking up to you. And what will keep your children going when they want to give up is to remember you, that you never gave up, that you kept going. So I'm saying you don't run alone. And that's what this conference is about. When you get around men like this and know, look, we're not in the race alone. We're not in this battle by ourselves. There are men who are fired up for God. Some of you are kind of on the edge. You're on the ledge. You don't know if you're going in or out spiritually. And you get around these men and you see these men who love Jesus and are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And that fires you up. It gets you in the race. That's what I'm talking about. So you don't run alone. Second thing, you want to run this race? Eliminate distractions. Eliminate anything in your life that can throw you off. That's why it says here, and laying aside the weights and the sin that so easily entangles us. Now, a couple of things here real quick. When he talks about these weights and the sin, two different things. Weights have to do with those things which impede us, which slow us down. You know, runners, they strip down to nearly nothing to run. I saw some people running in the airport with their suitcases and their bags today. It was crazy. I mean, trying to get to their flight. You don't run a race carrying baggage. You know what's wrong with a lot of people? They're carrying too much baggage. So you got to shed a lot of that baggage, and you got to get rid of anything in your life that is slowing you down. Anything in your life that's keeping you from becoming the man that God has called you to be and to win this race. To finish well, to go the distance. So you got to deal with these impediments, deal with these encumbrances. So many need to get in shape spiritually. Get rid of the distractions and the diversions, things that hold us back. These things could be good things. I'm not necessarily, this is not talking about sin right now. Just talking about anything. Paul said, all things are lawful to me, but not everything moves me down the track. Not everything keeps me going. I can do all kinds of things, but not everything is constructive. And he said, I don't want to be under the control of anything. I don't want anything to obsess my mind or control my life. And he said, I'm to be charitable in all things because love wins. I don't do certain things in my life because I know it's not charitable. Love trumps liberty every single time. So there's certain things that I don't do. For example, I don't drink alcohol, never have. And I know people want to debate whether alcohol, the use of alcohol is in the Bible, not in the Bible. I'll tell you this. I, as a pastor now for 50 years, I've never seen alcohol do anything good for people. Not one time. But I've seen a lot of disasters. So you can say, well, alcohol is neither good, neither bad, depends on how you use it, so on. I'm not going to allow anything to bring me under the control and the dominion of something outside of my life, because that's only going to slow me down. And I could name a lot of other things. Some of these are good things. We're on these cell phones. We're on these screens constantly. For some of us, I mean, it's nothing wrong to look at your screen, look at your news, look at go on Twitter, whatever you want to do. But these things can be hindrances. I mean, we're on these things constantly. I think we've proven to ourselves, all the people say, I don't have time to pray. All the time we spend on our phones, if we spend that time praying and witnessing, we would be spiritual giants, I guarantee you. But you know, sometimes good things, listen to this, sometimes good things can become bad things when they keep us from the best things. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes good things will become bad things when they keep us from the best things in our lives. I don't have time for just good things. Hey, I'm in the last leg probably of my race. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I'm 68 years old, but I'm still running. And don't intend to stop anytime soon, but I don't know. I don't have time for just good things. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press on to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Press on. But I got to make sure in my own life that I don't allow stuff that I, entertainment, media, that we don't allow any of that stuff. Enjoy it, have a great time, have fun, but nothing compares to what God has called us to do in following Jesus. Not one thing. And so don't let some good thing keep you from the best thing of following the Lord Jesus. But then there's the sin which easily entangles us, besets us, is the old King James word, besets us. We used to talk about besetting sins. And interestingly enough, in this verse, it doesn't tell you what the sin is. But it says, lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, trips us up. You see, weights will slow you down. Your pants around your ankles will slow you down. But entanglements will trip you up and put you out of the race. And that's sin. The sin. I think it's some particular sin in your life. You say, what is the sin? Somebody said, well, it's the sin of doubting God. It's the sin of distrust or whatever. I don't know, but I know most of us know what the thing is that tempts us, that could easily destroy our lives. Those besetting things, besmirching things, the sin. Because you cannot sin and win. I heard it a long time ago. I memorized it as a boy. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you far more than you want to pay. Be killing sin and the power of Christ in your life, or sin will be killing you. I weep when I read of men, some in the ministry, who are out of the race now because of sin. They were running and running well, but they allowed the hot breath of Satan on their neck and temptations and sin itself to creep into their lives. And if you allow sin to stay, now we all sin. We all understand that we all sin. But this is talking about besetting sins that get a hold of us. Those addictive sins, those powerful things that can absolutely destroy us and get us out of the race. Again, you can't lose your salvation. You're going on into heaven. But you're not winning the race. You can lose your crown. You can lose your reward. You can lose your meaning and purpose in life. You're out of the race. Who wants to be out of the race? Nobody. But sin will put you on the sidelines. Sin will put you out of the race. But here's the good news. By the grace and the mercy of God, we can get up and run again. Now, you may limp the rest of your life. You know, Jacob did. Jacob ran from God his whole life. Remember Jacob in the Old Testament? He wrestled with an angel and won a great victory and became a godly man, a prince of Israel. He's in God's Hall of Fame. When you read his story, by faith Israel, it was his name, Jacob. His very name, Jacob, meant the cheater. And he was cheating people his entire life, running from God. And finally, you know, you can't run from God. Finally, God caught up with him, took him down, and that angel put a hold on him, some kind of heavenly hold, and tore his hip right out of socket. Talk about WWF. That was it. And this guy's, the rest of his life, he limped. He walked with a limp. Now, he got right with God, but he walked with a limp. But the interesting thing is, when it came time to honor him in God's hall of faith, you know what is said about him? And Jacob, or Israel, worshiped God leaning on his staff. For the rest of his days, he limped. He struggled. But he got up and he kept going, and he would win again. And so can you. Don't you dare allow the devil to take you out of the race by telling you you can't get up again. If you are in Christ by God's grace, you can get up and go again. So do it. Do it. That's why some of you are here looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He said, what I start, I will finish. He who began the good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You get up, get your eyes off yourself, off your sin, off your problems, off your failure. You get your eyes back on the Lord Jesus Christ. You focus on him. You see him by faith, because I guarantee you, Jesus never quit on you. When he was going to the cross, carrying the cross, when every ounce and inch and fiber of his being was crying out, quit! Jesus didn't quit. He carried the cross to Calvary. We're going to celebrate that, because he knew, he looked to the other side and the resurrection, despising the shame. He knew the joy that was set before him. So Jesus is our example, yes, but listen to this. He's not only your example, he's your encourager, he's your empowerment. Because if you're saved, the Spirit of Christ lives in you, and he will enable you to get up and go again. When you feel like quitting, when you feel like giving up, when you think it's over, you get your eyes back on Jesus Christ. Watch him, be filled with him, live for him in the power of his Holy Spirit. That's what will ignite your life again. You need to get the engines going again. Look to Jesus. And you know what that really means, look to Jesus? It's kind of an ambiguous term, look to Jesus, look to Jesus. You know what it means? It just means look unto, just lean into him. And one more thing before I sit down. Our goal is to take as many people with us as possible. Because you got brothers in the room. We're not just running for ourselves. There's a saying among the Navy SEALs. Now, there's some heroes. I respect our military, and Tim Lee's going to be here in just a moment. I salute our military. Thank God for them. The Navy SEALs have a saying. They have a saying in their training and in their mission. They have this saying that goes like this. The mission is not complete until the last man gets home. So come on, men. Our mission is to get every man home to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton again, and you've been listening to Dr. Jack Graham on Family Talk. You know, our relationship with Jesus is to mimic that of a successful runner. And we've got to run that race purposefully, avoiding the snares of sin, and by the way, keeping our eyes fixed on him. You can learn more about Pastor Jack Graham and Prestonwood Baptist Church on the broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Listen in tomorrow as we continue Ignite Men's Week here on Family Talk. You're going to hear a powerful message from evangelist Tim Lee. I can't wait for you to hear it. That's all next time here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
This is James Dobson again. As we close today's program, I just want to thank so many of you out there who make this broadcast possible with your contributions. And I want to tell you how much your generosity is appreciated.
This is Roger Marsh for Family Talk. Moms are so important to the well-being of their children. I mean, no one can replace a mother's love and influence. That is why here at Family Talk, we want to honor these special women in each of our lives. And with Mother's Day right around the corner, Family Talk has a special offer just for moms. Visit drjamesdobson.org/moms for an exclusive broadcast CD featuring three popular programs dedicated to celebrating motherhood. Now, this offer is available for a limited time, and we'll be happy to send you a CD as our way of thanking you for your donation of any amount to Family Talk. Simply go to drjamesdobson.org/moms for more information. That's drjamesdobson.org/moms.